Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
Warning, before you can listen to this podcast, we have to scan you for Pandoran microparasites. Beep, 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 beep. You've all got them. But don't worry, you're in good hands. We've enlisted the Dr. Stevens from the Avatar Flight of Passage pre-show. Once he's matched to a microphone, we can start to talk. And, podcast. We welcome David Danipour to the final Feliz Navidad, The Way of Winter on Podcast The Ride. Welcome to the final Feliz Navidad, The Way of Winter, a Yuletide celebration of all things Avatar here on Podcast The Ride, a podcast series that will soon end, after which, sadly, we will be in Kansas anymore. I'm Scott Gardner. That's about the reaction that deserves. Mike Carlson.
I'm trying to think about what it means. I mean, I know what it means, but the actual words itself.
The grammar was so next level. It was so wrong that it was a new type of grammar that works.
I have to see it on a piece of paper to really decipher it. Yes, I'm here.
I'm looking at it on paper. It's not helping me.
Right, well, text it to me and I'll look.
Mike Carlson, for the last time, I see you.
I see
Jason
you.
Jason Sheridan, yeah. I see you.
I see you.
I see you, yeah.
Sounds more like ICU, like
ICU,
medical trouble.
Unit. Yeah.
No. We're wrapping up our Avatar celebration here. And by now, The Way of Water has made $1 billion, and I would like to think that The Way of Winter has done similarly for us.
And our influencer check from James is coming in, James Cameron, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. Knowing that so many phrases we've contributed to the wait, we haven't talked on the show about the new one, because we gave the word mighty is in the movie, and you called it the Mighty Akron.
That's right.
And then now there is the Weekend song.
Yes.
And the week, wait, I already don't remember what it is. What's the phrase?
You give me strength,
I believe. Give me strength, a thing that our character, the Sector Keeper, the Sector Keeper,
all right.
He sure is, yes. They're listening to Podcast The Ride's catchphrases and incorporating
that
them.
That is crazy. The Weekend is doing a song that's the title of it is a catchphrase from our show. We're not crazy enough to think that he's actually stealing it from it, but the coincidence...
It's getting a little unreal.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's like, so much of this little journey in talking about Avatar for a little while has been about kind of just like steeping in the culture and finding it together and making the cultural impact, the much talked about cultural impact together. And maybe it's, what if it's not coincidences? What if we are part of it? What if it's the cultural impact of Avatar is going to be helped by the cultural impact of Podcast The Ride?
I think you're right. And then in a certain, like, in a future movie, there'll be a character named Jason eating a hot dog or something. And it'll continue until the three of us are in one of them, maybe. I don't know.
We can only hope so. I mean, were that to happen,
You know what, there was a tease I read. I think like the fifth one might take place on Earth or something.
It's gonna come back.
I think
they have to come fight
like nature. Nature, is that the, what, Nitri, what's the name of the character?
Neytiri.
Jesus. I'm gonna edit
we
that
have learned
out.
Nothing
edit that out so that sounds good. It says something about her learning about Earth.
Whoa. But Earth sucks in the distant future. She doesn't want to go there. That's a bad idea. Well, but a recipe for some fun. I'm up for whatever it is, because my love of this franchise has grown only while we've been doing this. Hope you guys feel similarly. And if we were somehow to be lucky enough to end up being part of the franchise,
Then and only then would we be close to something achieved by our guest today, who is an actual part of the. Don't shake your head as if that's not.
No,
build your set. You are a genuine part of the Avatar mythology.
Yes,
a character in a character who's way beyond all the events of the films. Even we'll talk about it. And I'm so excited he's here to close out the series. I can't think of a cooler way to do it. You may have seen him on The Good Place, on Westworld, or on The Dropout, and you have definitely seen him in the pre-show of Avatar Flight of Passage at Disney's Animal Kingdom. The gentleman who plays Dr. Stevens himself, David Danipour. Hi.
Hey. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Michael, Jason, and Scott.
Thank you.
Guys.
Thanks for it. We should have done name tags.
No. I know your names. I've been listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thanks.
So that's, funny. That's you guys are so funny, and I was saying it earlier, and I'll say it again since it's recording now.
Oh, okay.
You guys have great voices. It's like you guys are like radio hosts. It sounds like you guys are, you know, moving on up.
Jeez. Oh, thanks.
Yeah. This is a nice thing to say because I that's not something I would think that we have is like the slickness. And that's the thing, like radio hosts look down on podcasters for not being able to, like, you know, read a 5-second promo or
talk up a song. Like you would talk up Don't Stop Believing on the radio and like coming in here, it's Journey with Don't Stop Believing. Oh,
that little thing where they throw it away right before this, right, exactly. This Journey with Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah. Yes.
But that's only like a 5-second job. You guys are doing like,
that's a good
you guys
point.
Are doing 90 minutes of like, you know,
sure.
content. Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. I mean, if anyone wants to give us like traditional DJ jobs, I think we're interested.
Available.
Like, we'll be like Wolfman Jack or.
So now you guys want Avatar jobs? And DJ jobs.
We're begging for work.
We're getting greedy. Yeah. You're complimenting us because we haven't heard those episodes where we just ask, will you hire us to write this or be in this? Or,
that's half the show.
Three words, pal. Work for scale.
Okay. We want to be the new Cousin Brucies, is what I'm saying.
That's so funny because I did a tweet, which I should have deleted, but I left it on. And sometimes I get like, ugh, why did I do that? But I like tweeted at James Cameron and I was like, hey, if you need a scientist, put me in your movie or something like that. And it got like 5 likes. And,
wait, that's crazy. I would have liked up? That if I...
I think it's still up, yeah.
Okay, let's make all the listeners
find the tree. Yes, Clifford Nation.
Clifford Nation. We'll retweet the tweet on the day. Everyone will go to our Twitter. They'll follow you, and then they'll retweet it. And let's get this on this guy's radar.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's also retweet one of your tweets. Let's do one for you guys in the movie, and then let's all get in.
Worry about us later.
Okay.
Yeah, this that's is the right. Priority. Yeah, we don't want to be greedy. Okay. Yeah.
All right, here's what we'll do.
Try to get in number 5. We'll try to get you in 3 or 4. They're filming 4 now.
Let us. We'll tweet at the Wolfman Jack Estate, and we'll say, "Let us be the new Wolfman Jack."
Estate.
Yeah, we'll get the IP, the intellectual property from Wolfman Jack and the voice. And
we're assuming that any deceased person has an estate.
Of course.
And we're also assuming that any listener knows who Wolfman Jack is.
I picked one of the most relevant DJs of all time.
Graffiti, right?
American Graffiti.
Yeah, American Graffiti.
Yeah, that's true. He lives on in the... this guy,
For the last 20, years, I heard he just like would... anytime you thought you heard his radio show, it was just like clips that they had recorded and they were just randomly play them and piece it together. Like he was not showing up for shows.
This one's a rocker.
Yeah, it didn't matter. People
get dancing to this one.
I believe that's what
the story the current was. Politics are not ideal.
Right. This is Wolfman Jack and I am a ghost in the machine.
Truly what he was. So we'll do one of those too. We'll do one of those.
Fair.
Yeah. But we'll accept. I mean, there's compliments coming your way too, because we love your performance in this ride so much. I think we actually have to, maybe first bit of business, we have to thank you for giving us all the material for the Orlando live show that we did, where we essentially recited everything that you had to say on that day.
It was. I listened to it. I had a friend whose name is also Scott.
Ah.
And he told me about that podcast. And he's like, oh, you should listen to it because they're talking about you.
I did shout you out.
No, I listened to it. And then at one point, I think it was you, Scott, you're like, Before we start the you know, mild roasting, I just want to say I know David Dianfor, and like, you know, he's great, and you know, I love him, and okay, now let's begin.
I'm glad that registered, and I'm glad you. Nothing. We didn't do anything in the aftermath that made you not want to come here.
Oh, that's no, important. No. Yeah, I mean, I messaged you right after that because, like, oh my God, that's Scott. I remember you. You know, yeah. Coming to the shows with for improv shows sometimes some shows.
Sure.
The significant other of the performer will come to a lot of the shows, and
yes. And you were on Scott team with one, Aaron, yeah. My wife, mm-hmm. Who did improv for a little while and was super funny. And so I saw you do, you guys were on a team together. So I saw you do improv a bunch of times, and I'm certainly not making this up, or it's like revisionist history or anything. Aaron can attest that when there, whatever the first time I saw the show you were in, I definitely afterwards was like, who is that guy? Like, you got that lift.
Oh, thank you.
Like, cause you had this, you were just so like, natural, but like, and like willing to play kind of like odd energies that were not anything like what anybody else on stage was doing.
Oh,
you were just
you.
Like on a wavelength that was just like, this is like naturally, this isn't just like thinking of funny stuff, this is like the guy being really funny.
Oh yeah,
I really did feel that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I was just you know, acting like myself, but thank you. No
good.
Yeah,
no, it was clued in to
heightened performance. Yeah yeah, but thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I forget what was the question there, or was there a question?
Maybe we're just talking about how this all, well, this all came together. This all came together in a nice way, and then you followed me, and then we wrote each other, and it was like, oh, this is perfect, because we had just begun this celebration of Avatar Feliz Navidad. And I've been thinking about it anyway ever since then. I'm like, there's got to be a way for David to come on, and this is perfect, a full examination of your performance of Dr. Stevens. And one more thing just before we dive in, because I've also liked in recent interaction with you that we had to push this because I got COVID, and you were giving me tips on this and telling me to explore getting Paxlovid, which then the insurance was like, yeah, you're fine, you don't need that. It doesn't sound like you're bad enough. You don't sound shitty enough on the phone, so we're not going to give you the. So I just get through it in a regular way. But I was glad I tried. You actually did you helped me make the phone call, which I something else was prescribed that was mildly helpful.
That is not cool.
I don't know, insurance. I hear that's happening a lot with Paxlovid. Is they're trying to feel like if they have any,
they're hoarding it for the higher risk categories.
That might be it. Yeah. Oh, I didn't have a good like stat. I didn't lie about. I didn't play a character who needed it.
You should have lied with the whole wheezing cough and stuff. Yeah.
You also got it in a time when I think a lot of people got it right after Thanksgiving.
That's a good point too.
When I got it, sure I don't that. Think. They were just like, no one's taking this.
Right.
Sure, take it. Yeah.
It's funny how it goes in and out of people caring or thinking about it, myself included. I was like, that old thing? That, what is this? I love the 2020s. So there's no COVID anymore. And then there you go. I got it.
Your Orlando show was so funny. I think it made me a little intimidated to come on, because you guys were so funny.
I'm glad
there's no audience, because I think you guys would be, you know, it would. Then it's like, you got to compete. Like, oh, wow, these guys are making all these.
I wish,
these
honestly, if you would come out in that audience, you would have, people would have climbed over us to get to you.
Yeah. It would be, you would have lived.
Okay, we'll get to another avenue of this later, but I'll get you to the comment sections of things.
I'm so curious. So you're wondering, like, you've seen the dark side of people's opinions. Yeah. Oh God, what a tease. Just to wrap up what I was saying on the light side of it, nice it's been talking to you, and I appreciate you getting that advice, and I like that you gave me a little spell of advice and then finished it by saying, but don't take it from me, I'm not a doctor, I just play one in Avatar Flight of Passage. And I was so delighted to read that email.
That's beautiful.
And that in this odd medical
scene. I love it.
Because do you know, you came up another time on the show in a brief window where we thought the pandemic was bad enough that we were willing to do Twitch streams. We tried.
It's a lot of work.
Yes, that's what we found. Annoying.
It's just a lot of work.
One that we did was, we did a competition, an NCAA style brackets for that we called the Fake Doctor Final Four. And Dr. Stevens was a candidate in the, we made sure that you were competing to be for the title of best fake theme park doctor. I threw the results of it because a Muppet won, and I thought that was boring. I might have been gunning for Dr. Stevens. I don't recall. I'd have to look it up.
I don't remember anything about who won.
No,
anyway, that was you guys should know before. I am not attached to the, you know, Dr. Stevens being like loved or not loved. Like,
right.
You guys can like go full honesty. It's it's like I want to hear, you know, like I want to hear the, you know, the honest.
Right.
What
you
guys okay.
Think. You could be nice too, but also. Also,
I'm in the mood for. Nothing. Is
I like
to
being
me.
Roasted. I guess.
Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't. I don't think any of us thought we're going to do like an Isaac Chotiner, like New Yorker takedown of you.
Reference? Yeah, boy.
Freaking Dennis Miller over here.
Yeah.
Didn't think we were going to do an Isaac Chotiner.
Chotiner, babe.
No, I think. Well, I. When we were down there for that show and we were staying for a few days, I think, Mike, you had been to the Pandora section of the park before?
Yes, I've been multiple times, yes.
And Scott, you and I, that was our first time.
It was our first time, doing it.
So to a certain extent, we experienced your character and performance together.
Here's what I'll say. This is the closest that you're going to get to me as far as a roast, and it's not anything that I don't think it's actually a roast. Depending on if the ride breaks down, they make it seem like you don't know what's going on sometimes. But that's the ride making you seem like you're like a scientist, but you have no clue what's happening in the lab. And that's the closest it ever gets, because some people would be like, say you're a dad and you think that guy is actually helping
this
somehow.
This is a real guy.
One out of 50 dads might think that. Like, oh,
I think that was Joe Rohde's idea.
It's a great idea, though.
He was like, after everything was shot, he was like, okay, now we're going to do one for when we don't know how long people have to wait. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, so you're just going to be like, I'm going to come right back and like leave.
Yeah.
And then I go off stage or off set, and then I come back like 10 seconds later. But, you know, they edit it. So it's like, it looks like
yes.
I came back a lot. They can do it as long as they want. And he was just giggling. He was just like, this is going to be so great when it actually happens in the park.
It happened. I think one of the first times I ever did the ride, and it took forever. They scanned us. Your character came on screen, left screen. I swear it happened like maybe twice where you left. So again, if the one out of 50 dads who like thinks maybe you're like a ride operator, but you're sort of like maybe this is live. You're like, I don't know. This guy doesn't know what he's doing. The scientist is really, something's broken. He needs to fix this.
They're pinning it on you. Yeah, it's like, there's somewhere I'm trying to be, and it's this guy's fault. This dweeb won't let me pass this door.
I'll take it. Just, you know.
He keeps scanning me. Yeah. There's the vibration thing keeps going off. How many times does he need to scan me for germs?
So it keeps doing everything?
I believe once it scanned me twice at least.
Oh, wow.
But it was like, and then when you do it for the first time, you're like, this is a little long, like, because you don't know how long it's supposed to be. But yeah, it was definitely.
It's
and then
long.
And you sit, and of course, and I don't know if I'm getting ahead, move your arms around a little. Which is an iconic line. And I don't even say that facetiously or anything. Truly, that's like, if you're a nerd for this stuff, you're like, it's a good line. Like, that's a memorable line. But that happened a lot in this stretch of like the ride. Something was wrong with the ride. They never tell you.
Whoa. Certainly when we were together, we got a couple move your arms around. I think when we rode it.
I bet that's what it is in general, is people feeling like, they've been watching you for 15 minutes, and that's probably where
and you're responsible. I think even if people aren't consciously thinking about it, in the back of their mind, they're like, this guy's got to hurry it up.
So that's what it is. Dr. Stevens is the fall guy for the long wait. They're like, we gotta pin that on something. We
it's
gotta
possible.
Channel.
Gotta be mad at somebody. Yeah. And there's not usually a specific person to do it to.
Yeah. All of the ride technicians, what are they called? They're players or
cast Disney members. Like,
cast members.
Yeah.
All the cast members are like, "Hey, Dr. Stevens, it's his fault.
Take it up with this guy.
Yeah.
Throw a drink at the screen if you need to."
They should have done it like the Mr. Potato Head animatronic, where you got to roast people in line, and they were generic roasts. So somebody like it would just be like, "Hey, look at your hat." That's pretty silly, right? We got to scan that for germs.
I wish. That's funny. I wish. Let's redo it and add something like that in.
Sure.
And then, yeah, of course, you get royalties for that.
Of course, yeah.
The same royalties I get.
Right, I was going to say. So we're going to be rolling in money, is what you're saying.
If I had to guess, knowing anyone's history with appearing in these kinds of things, that would have been my guess. That Disney's kind of like, all right, and here you go. Here's one thing once and goodbye.
But, yeah. Well, in a way, they sort of had to pay me more because they messed up. So like I did the shoot and then I get a call like 3 weeks later and they're like, oh, we need you to come in to do some ADR. Like, we just want to add some stuff in. Oh. So I go in into this like small ADR booth. And I think it was in where the Imagineer offices are. On,
oh, wow.
I don't know where that's
at. Flower Street.
Flowers. Yeah, Flowers. And, you know, it was like 10 minutes. They just needed me to add like one line or two lines of like safety, like some sort of legalese stuff, right? Then I go home. 3-4 weeks later, I get another call like, David, it's not your fault. We need you to do ADR again. I was like, okay. They're like, no, you don't understand. You have to do the whole thing.
Wow.
So I had to dub the entire thing. And this time we went to like a really sophisticated, fancy ADR studio where there's like a huge theater screen. Like that's where they do all the like Disney, like the actual Disney movies.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I'm there for like 8 to 10 hours.
Jesus.
Like dubbing my own voice, and they want all the uhs and ums. So it's like, I think it sounds a little like not as authentic as it should have sounded, like when you first acted it out, because I'm just like trying to, you know, and you know, da 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 da. And then also they're like, can you make it a little more energetic? So it's like the voice probably doesn't match my face in some
interesting
intuitive weird way, you know, like people watching right might just get a little like something's off,
like that adds, it makes like, whereas it was kind of like maybe downbeat and naturalistic the first time, and then you had to add this thing, so the combo makes it like just gives it this odd like, what is up with this guy?
It's super odd after that. And But I got paid so much more. For all the multiple days.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Overall, I didn't get paid that much more.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say how much. Maybe I can give a. it's like.
You need to if it's you like, worried about disclosures.
It's like 6 months, 5 months of rent.
Maybe. That's
better than I thought.
Yeah, I know, actually. Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible. Rent.
Yeah. Jeez, okay. Great.
Okay. Of not a great place, but like a decent place.
Yeah, a solid place. Yeah.
Jeez.
It kind of makes sense what you're saying, like having to dub yourself, you know, ADR stuff can be very difficult and stuff, but I always saw it, like watching it for the first couple times, I was like, oh, this is a fun choice for this character because he's a scientist who probably does not spend all day in front of the camera. So he's like, you know,
who's not a polished broadcaster as referred to at the beginning. Yeah, you're a real guy. You're not an on-camera presence.
No, he's intelligent. He knows what he's talking about, but maybe doesn't do presentations all the time.
I would say he's very charming. Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that was what they were going for. So you got that on the nose. Yeah. They wanted me to be a little fumbling, which was easy because they like gave me all these new lines on the day of. Uh-huh. Oh. And then not only that, but they wanted me to do it out of order. And so they're like, okay, now do this part first and then do that part. Mm. And I'm like, oh, well, that's not the way I had just, you know, learned it.
And they wouldn't give you a card?
I know. A monitor, sorry, a teleprompter, which was, I think, an iPad that was like jigged up. But it was here and the camera was right in front of me. And they're like, try not to look, please look directly into the camera. So I would do takes where I would look at it and they'd be like, no. Oh, look directly into the camera.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what you're doing is all, I think that's the craziest thing about it, is that like you are responsible for introducing so many elements of this world, and this, like, you have to let people know about scanning for microparasites and that Dr. Ogden restarted the Avatar program, mm-hmm. and that we call the, they're Ikran, but we call them Banshees. It's like, it's so many things, like those are not easy things to like individually to keep in your head, let alone to like shuffle around.
Right. Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not normal vernacular. Yeah.
Right. Oh, which also, wait, so the one question is, not that it would have helped, because I've like, my question is, did you know Avatar at all before this?
I watched the movie, mm-hmm. and I thought the first movie was, well, is James, depending on, no, let's just be honest here. I thought it was good, but like not super memorable. So it's weird, because when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is a pretty good movie, you know. But for some reason, it never stuck around in my mind as some other movies. It didn't like stick deep.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because they're just using the same formulas as some other movies do. Like once they just don't surprise you and just keep the same formulas, it might not land with you, maybe.
But
I mean, I knew the movie, I knew that there was avatars and like, you know, you control them by getting plugged in somehow. So you, I knew the basics,
but then it's not like you could have easily, oh, this is the part where I talk about Oikron, or as we call them, Banshees.
That part I didn't remember from the movie. I don't even know if it's in the movie.
We've only, our weird avatar thing has kind of, it's bubbled up. I felt like very early in the podcast we started talking about it because of the land and the ride that you're part of, and then it, like, I think just by repetition and like just that it kept coming up, like that's the only reason we all ended up kind of liking the whole thing, is just like we've just like stewed in it so much, and now I am fond of these. Like, what happened? We went around this like merry-go-round so many times. Mm-hmm. Now I do know it. I do know the characters, and I do like them. But what a weird thing that, like, for a movie and a franchise to need, like, you. But what you have to do is just weirdly think about it for 13 years, and then it'll kick in, and you'll start to like
Let it simmer on the stove for 13 years, and then it's right. It's like a fine wine or an aged whiskey.
Maybe
that's what it is.
That's why I like it so much.
Right,
it's a fine wine.
Right.
One other thing I have to say before we move on from that, you having to repeat the whole thing. We talked about this on the show a while back. The ride Test Track, which is at Epcot. I don't know if you've ever been on it, but it's presented by General Motors, and you drive a car really fast. And there used to be this big intro with a bunch of jargon from like a scientist, and that was played by John Michael Higgins, a great comedic actor who I got to work with once. And of course, I'm like, oh, what's up with that ride? And this whole story was, I did the whole thing, I had to say all this complicated stuff, and it was big long takes, and it was really hard to do. And then a couple weeks went by, and they said I needed to do ADR.
Whoa!
And I went in. So just a few lines? No, the entire thing. The exact thing that happened to you. I'm shocked that this, you're telling this story when this is exactly what happened on this other ride years ago.
Oh my gosh. We need to have like a group, like a therapy group for those
coping with one day Disney World shoots.
Yeah. You know what you should do? There's a band of all like actors on TV. It's called like the Band from TV with Greg Grunberg, and he plays drums. You should have a band with all the other guys and girls and everybody in the intro video.
Patrick Warburton, yeah, Gary Sinise. I think these people are all musicians, by the way.
Yes.
I've been working on my violin, so maybe I could work that in. Or maybe I'll do percussions.
Do you play anything?
I mean, no. I did violin in elementary school, and you know, we just had a daughter, and so I'm like, oh, I should probably get into some music. And I started, like, I bought like the cheapest violin, bad idea, because it doesn't sound that great. Then you know, I started like practicing a little bit, and doesn't sound good. So
okay,
yeah. You thought you could lullabies and
Yeah. You could play like Dave Matthews Band songs and stuff.
Maybe, yeah. I should learn. Sounds a little... Yeah, I don't... Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is at my level. You know?
Oh, that's nice. That's good.
Yeah.
That's yeah. something. I guess one question to ask is, to go back to the beginning, the basic stuff, like how did you come to be part of this to begin with?
Oh, okay, yeah. So I auditioned through Actors Access, which mm-hmm. is like a casting website. So it was basically not a cattle call where like anyone can go, but it was like an open submission, so anyone mm-hmm. could submit. You didn't have to have an agent, mm-hmm. and it was listed as theme park workshop. So like I because of this podcast, I went back and reread the email, mm-hmm. wow. and it had asked us to, you know, dress comfortably, don't wear any lab stuff because we'll provide it for you, and be prepared to do improv. And I remember when I went there, it's like they didn't care about the lines. They just wanted you to just sort of workshop with them.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. And so the audition was like a workshop where you just, for 10 minutes, you just sort of did all the, you know, different mm-hmm. variations of the audition with them. And then...
What are you talking about in that? Because it's not Avatar stuff, I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, it was just like, it was basically everything except Avatar. So like the micro-parasites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you all have them. I think that was part of the audition. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you guys all have them, but don't worry, but you do have them. And then, you know, it's just like, I just started talking about whatever, you know. Oh, they go through photosynthesis, which is, you know, when the sun creates, when they're able to produce energy, but we're using the sun. Well, you don't need to know that. You just need to know you're safe. You know, it's just improv. And then I didn't hear anything for like 2 months. And then I get a call from my agent, I think. It was my agent. It was probably an email. And they just said, they want you to audition again for a grad student. This time it was called grad student.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I went in, and this time they wanted you to get all the words right. And just did it. And then same script, essentially. And that was it. And then... didn't hear again from them for like a month, and then they just called and said, you know, we want you to play this character. And I didn't know it was for Disney. I was trying to figure out which theme park it was for. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe, you know, Universal or like Knott's Berry Farm. Mm-hmm. But I for some reason I didn't think Disney, because I couldn't think of any Disney characters
right
that would fit like this sort of scientist guy.
Oh, sure. You know, right. And then it isn't.
Or Disney movies.
Non-Disney at the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, weird. Wow, yeah. Wow. What a weird... Oh, I love the, like, successfully getting through the layers of, like, a mysterious project. That has to be a pretty cool mm-hmm. thing as an actor to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good when they want you to do something.
yeah.
But, yeah, and then I went to do the shoot. No. You know, there was a lot of prep for it because they wanted to do the wardrobe, and I went into the Imagineering Studios, cool. the one on Flower.
Yeah.
Flower Street. Yeah.
Flower Street. And it's like, that place is like a dream world because everyone there is so passionate, you can tell, about their job. And they're so meticulous and specific with how mm-hmm. they want things done. And but they're also open to like suggestions from each other, so it's very collaborative. And I also remember there was like a Starbucks there. They kept asking me like, do you want something from Starbucks? There's like a Starbucks inside mm-hmm. the facility, and everything's free from that Starbucks for everyone, so it's like,
oh, man.
Everything's wow. on their tab. But I don't drink coffee or anything, so I just come in, no, I don't need it. And they kept going, but it's free. It's like, anything you want, it's free.
I gotta make something up.
A muffin? Yeah, do they offer a muffin?
No, no muffin. No, oh, okay. Anything you wanted. Anything from a Starbucks was there for you mm-hmm. to take for free. For everyone. It wasn't just me. It was like free for all the workers.
Man, a workplace where everybody's doing like insane next level stuff and they're all excited to be there. And Starbucks is free.
Yeah.
This is great to hear about.
Would you guys ever want to do stuff, an Imagineer type job?
We've only begged on the show many times.
Uh-huh. I'd see if I can fit it in.
It's a weird, genuinely, I'm always like, well, where do I fit into that? Because none of us are engineers. The second half of the word, we can imagine, but the engineering part is where it gets tougher for me. And I have no literal like art skill. When you think about the level of like a Joe Rohde, we'll talk about, like, who I'm sure, like, if his whole career ended at just, like, he's an incredible matte painter or mural painter, like, he was good enough to be that alone. So I think having the specific skill sets is probably the toughest thing.
Two friends of ours, I think we can, right, because it was tweeted about, two friends of ours rode a ride that's coming soon to Universal. So, like, that aspect where it's something that's like the Minion, we're talking about Van Robichaud and Evan Susser wrote the Minions ride.
We're saying, Villain Con. So, Evan, like, and Van, you've heard them on the show. Friends of the show, ride. Amazing.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, in that, like, they wrote a lot of, I think, I don't know if I'm, get jokes and stuff and, like, set up. So, they're not crunching numbers or anything. So, like, in that aspect, I believe, this would be great. Okay. Now, do I also think I could maybe conceptualize a new ride? Yes, I do think that. I'm just saying, I think from, like, at least from a standpoint of, like, oh, if Knott's Berry Farm had some, like, simple little thing where we could write some fun copy and come up with a scenario. Yeah, I'd love anything like that is a dream.
Okay. Yeah, because you already pitched some good stuff here for the Avatar ride. That making fun of thing would have been great.
Roasting Dr. Stevens roast. I just thought of what it could be. It's like, hang on, we have to scan for something. An ugly hat. You have one.
Great. Perfect.
There.
Oh, yeah.
These are good auditions for that job.
Yeah. So we're trying to illustrate it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And the specific thing that you got to do, which is, like, I've always been obsessed with, is, like, somebody being in the video that plays all day, every day, somewhere. Something that happened on this show once was that I found an opening somehow successfully to film a video where I was an astronaut that played in a Fry's Electronics in Anaheim for 2 days before it closed. And this was me trying to do what you got to do. I was just like, if I could get any, just for 2 days, that's great. That's a dream come true. Something where, like, I'm a guy and I'm telling you rules about something and make sure you press the button. And it was, like, fake. It was like a Make-A-Wish thing they made up for me. But it was like the coolest thing ever. So what you got to do, this thing where, like, you're playing into infinity forever. It's so impressive that I'm very impressed by.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Well, so was it like a commercial for Fry's Electronic where you were an astronaut that
it's
was like
so confusing
by this TV or something?
There might be a whole, there's Fry's Electronics things behind you in here. I went to a Fry. I really like Fry's Electronics in general because they had all these great themes. It was a themed electronics store. And the one in Anaheim was space themed. And I went into it one day and there was a video that played where a guy is like, we're about to launch and you need to press the red button to make sure that we have a successful launch. Like a really mini version of what you did for real. And I was like, why is this playing only here in this one store? That's so weird. Maybe this is my chance. There's less red tape. I don't have to go through, I don't have to do the workshops and all the stuff you had to jump through. I'm not a real actor, so I don't have to prove that I'm a real actor. So somehow we got a hold of Fry's people and they were like, yeah, the store's closing anyway, it's fine, put it in there. And they played it for a weekend before it was this whole, the listeners know about this already.
Oh, wow. So you made it independently and then gave it to them to play.
We tweeted it. We tweeted it out, and then our listeners were like, this maybe shows this is the way we can maybe help you out and try to get you in an Avatar film. That our listeners were like, Fry's, you got to see this. Boy, Fry's, this video is great. And then it genuinely did make it to somebody deep in the Fry's. I don't think I've even said the whole, I can't say everything about this, but it had to go all the way up the flagpole.
It was, yeah.
It actually did, and that's all I'm at liberty to say, but somebody very powerful had to go, all right, why not?
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we could do a scientist spec thing together. And to get us on Avatar.
Let's try that. We do our own workshop. These guys improvise. I'll try to fake my way through it. You'll be fine. I'll do it. I'll just repeat all my astronaut stuff.
Maybe if we just put our, like, make it and we record it on a VHS, we slip it to a cast member on the ride. And one day, for some reason, there's four scientists in their lab.
That would be hilarious.
Scanning for germs.
Yeah. Like, that would be great.
Hang on. I have to consult with Dr. Robinson and Dr. Miller.
Dr. Miller, are you eating a hot dog, Dr. Miller?
Yeah,
what? In the lab?
And now it's a bumbling set of four scientists. Sure. Yeah. I do like this.
Disney Creative Campus locked down today after a mysterious VHS dropped at the mail drop.
Were there secret messages in it? Was it a bomb?
Was it a threat?
VHS. It's like, we don't know what's in it because we don't have a VCR. We don't know how to play this.
There's no way to find out where the technology is not here.
One of the three places in the valley where we could play this VHS, thanks to being the
Scott Gardner's house.
Largest media company in the world.
Yeah. So you do get through all the layers of this, and you wait. Well, first of all, it's like it's prep and it's shoot. You're on the Imagineering campus. That's all a dream. That's crazy. And then the shoot. What's the shoot like?
Oh, the shoot was great. It was they rented out a soundstage in North Hollywood or Sun Valley area.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you know, they set up the stages. They had Dr. Ogden stage. And the woman that plays her was great. She was also in a bunch of other stuff. I think maybe just as her voice. Yeah, I forget what else she's in. But she was sort of like, you know, like sort of like been around the block, like, oh yeah, this is your first Disney shoot.
Wow, really?
No, in a good way. But it was like, I was like, oh yeah, this is my first.
Wow.
She's showing you the road. She's like, oh, I got stories.
Yeah, bro. She's like, I'm also in I forget some other ride she does the voice
for. We don't know this.
I forgot stuff,
but that's interesting.
Maybe it's in Disneyland. Maybe. Where she does the voice.
I can figure it out.
Yeah.
It's possible we did a whole episode on this and I forgot.
Yeah. Happens a lot.
Episodes.
Sometimes they're not the easiest thing to find credits for attractions, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But that's cool. Well, because Dr. Ogden is your mentor. And Dr. Stevens, now that we know specifically Dr. Stevens is a grad student, so who maybe... Actually, that's a question. Do you have it in your head that maybe you, like, looked up to Dr. Ogden?
That was part of it. Like, she's someone I looked up to, and they really wanted me to keep, you know, saying her name like I look up to her. I don't know if it comes through that I keep saying Dr. Ogden.
Oh, we noticed. Yeah. That's one of the funniest, that you're in this room for so long and we are getting all this information and about worlds and cultures and you're going to fly, but then within that, you need to know that Dr. Ogden is great. Dr. Ogden wrote a book. Dr. Ogden restarted the program. So that's funny. It was funny to do, to read all that.
It's coming back to me now. They're just like, you really look up to Dr. Ogden. Dr. Ogden. Okay.
We have talked about before. Like, man, they really like Dr. Ogden.
Dr. Ogden. Do you think that Dr. Stevens got to meet Dr. Ogden, or was there a distance? Was it somebody you like read in grad school, or like did you have a relationship, or did she blow you off in the office? Do you have any sense of further mythology?
Oh, you mean like the backstory of Dr. Stevens and Dr. Ogden? Coming from me and how I played it, it was, yes, we had like training back in the home base, wherever that is.
Oh yeah.
And then I got shipped to like Antarctica, like some sort of remote station where I'm just sort of explaining things to people and I'm like all alone, and so that's why it's like, oh, I haven't talked to people in a long time.
Okay.
So this is why I'm sort of, you know, talking to people like this, because just isolated, and it's just, you know, people, yeah, I know how to talk to you. Yeah, so this is what you do.
This is what you were playing the feeling that everyone had coming out of the pandemic. Like, yes, I know how to be at a party. I can talk. How is your life? Like, everyone was like Dr. Mm-hmm. Stevens all that.
Oh, yeah, after the pandemic, everyone was, yeah. A lot of strange behaviors. Yeah. A lot of strange behaviors.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, the first party genuinely I went to, the first half hour, I'm like, are you a maniac? What are you? Have you not said sentences in your life? Every lights are shining. I'm like, I'm recoiling. I want to go in a cave.
They made a funny SNL sketch about this. I don't know if you guys saw there was like an SNL sketch video about.
I think so.
Yeah, it was funny. Not all their stuff is great, but this one was. Sorry, I mean, I love you, SNL.
No, of course we all do. Of course.
But some of this stuff is, you know, you do it every week, so it's hard.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be hits and misses, of course. Yeah. It's the history of the show.
Yeah. If they're batting 250, then that's
you only success. Remember the good stuff from the compilations.
We grew up with in high school.
It was your favorite. That was your favorite cast.
The actress, Dr. Ogden, was, her name is, at the top of the page, Allison Blanchard. And she was it says luggage scan computer in Star Tours.
Oh.
So does that mean, that's not there's the Patrick Warburton robot, but then is it like midway through the line?
There's some voices checking in. There's the X-ray effect with the robot, but I can't remember how audible those lines are.
So that might be something she did.
So she's been there before.
Getting into that, I guess that's a huge question probably a lot of people have, is like the awkwardness. That was completely that was what they wanted. That's a choice. It's what you were going for.
Yeah. I mean, if you judge my baseline as this and then see how far away Dr. Stevens is, I mean, it's sort of a little bit, you know, it's like always part of you, how you are. So, yeah, I mean, it's just like an extension of that. I just played on it a little more. Plus the dubbing, you know, made it extra awkward probably.
Something awkward. Yeah,
or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe the dubbing didn't make it awkward. It's just in my mind. It's just like,
right.
That's not my voice. Like, this doesn't match. But they're just like, no, it's perfect. Huh. Yeah. Huh.
The weird thing must be like the rhythm of saying the ums. Like having to like remember... Like, you don't know your own vocal patterns that well to, like, no. It was a quarter of a second before the not a half second.
Yeah, it's like doing karaoke with...
Oh, yeah.
Because the words are there, and there's, like, a little bar that you have to, like, try to match, and it's just...
Is that right? There's something visual?
Oh, wow. Yeah, at these places, that they try to give you all the help you can. There's, like, there's a beep... And then there's like this line going through of like where the words are, like where you should say them. And then the words are underneath, and it's just like karaoke, basically, with your own.
Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if this is common with all these ride videos for some weird reason.
Yeah, what is the, why do they need the dubbing?
Timing-wise or something? Like, is it like, did they like speed it up a half second or something, or a quarter of a second, and then like, you know, come in and do it a little faster? Like, I wonder why that might be common.
I mean, my theory is just that they don't shoot a lot of stuff. Like Imagineers do a lot of stuff, but one of the things they don't do is like film production, and
they don't hire a sound guy.
Maybe they don't hire any sound guy. Yeah.
They don't know a good guy. They need a good guy.
Where was the guy holding the stick thing? Oh, we didn't have him. No.
Again? We did it again? We have no coverage?
That's we track all over again.
Coverage guy.
Buy a Zoom recorder.
Yeah. So who's making the call this time? It's like, I'll call the actor.
You get it in 15 years when this happens again.
Oh, back to the Imagineering thing. Oh, yeah. I didn't see anyone there that looked like an engineer that like builds things. They were all like artistic,
right?
So I think it's a lot in the name, like to just add the engineer. So you guys have a lot of potential posts to fill.
Look, yeah. I've directed for television. I would love. I've made ride videos for rides that don't exist. I've done every possible.
Yeah.
Every possible audition for this kind of thing, and then it's and now I'm hearing that they can't. I've done things with a sound person. I know how to get the sound
Scott
right.
Can record sound.
That's right.
I sound engineer this podcast.
That's way. What am I talking about? You do it all the time. You've logged.
Kidding me?
Thousands of hours.
I guess what I'm auditioning for is to run sound on ride videos.
You'd love it, though. I know you'd like to go higher than that, but wouldn't you to be there to watch every raw take of every video?
I'll say this. The sound person is always the most interesting person on set.
Hmm.
They're just always, for some reason, like, I'm like, this person's lived the life. Like, yeah. Like there's something about people that are obsessed with sound that makes them more interesting. I know that seems vague, but it's truly, I don't have a specific type of person I'm talking about. It's just always, there's somebody who's hyper-focused on sound, and I'm always like, oh, okay, sound, this is the sound person is my...
I'm going to agree with you, and I think there's also, just in the way they, like, you see them working with equipment or, like, hooking up your mic or someone else's mic... It's that kind of quiet confidence that, like, if you have a regular mechanic and they just start doing stuff without looking at it.
It's
interesting.
Totally. Just pros. Yeah.
I don't know why that is, but
the guy who did all the sound for everything at Funny or Die was used to be the drummer for Yngwie Malmsteen.
Perfect.
Oh my God. So he's in old crazy European hair metal videos in the early 90s.
Wow.
So that's what you're after. Yes,
that is what I'm after.
This guy must have a story. Oh yeah, that's a good one. But back to the shoot. I'm trying to think what other stuff about. Oh, well, I was asking about the awkwardness and the case. You know, this I think maybe has to be brought up. A phrase that has not been said yet in this episode, and that phrase is. You know what I'm going for. Fly. And this clearly is I think there's a couple iconic things that you say in this, but that takes the cake, and you've probably, I imagine this has come back to you in a,
it's on TeePublic. People have made shirts, fan shirts, and
I've got friends send me links to these shirts. Is that legal? Can they do that?
Not technically.
Yeah,
I don't know though. It's if it's not.
Oh, I guess if it's like
that's a phrase Disney in the world. You can say a fly.
Yeah, as long as it's not like a picture of an Akron on it.
Yeah,
is there?
I wonder if I should sell. Maybe I should do and a shirt or something. That sounds legal. It's
like, I think so. Yeah, I think you're fine on that. And we know, look, that for a long time, at least until this new movie, the Avatar font Papyrus, and that's just free on every computer.
That's true.
So you can use Papyrus without a problem.
Hey, we'll retweet it.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, or maybe and podcast the ride. Shirts.
Oh, man. Oh. That was exciting.
We'll split the revenue. No, it was I guess it was improvised, but come on, it's just a line. It's not really like, you know.
It was improvised though. I don't know. That's pretty big.
I just sort of rephrased the line. I forget what it was. Was it just and fly and I added or was it maybe that's it. Maybe that was it. And
you
I
probably
just,
don't remember super well because you did not expect that to be the thing that is latched onto.
I just remember whatever the line was before that, I started saying Anna fly and I think Joe Rohde was like, keep that. You know,
he
was
like,
I love that.
Whoa.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Because
we're full in Chris Farley show mode right now.
Yes, I know. Absolutely.
Good sketch.
Especially and I didn't know who Joe Rohde was. I just knew he was like the passionate guy on set with a lot of stuff on his ears. Oh, this guy's different and he's really into everything. Because there was like three directors. There was Joe Rohde. There was like some guy from Disney. And then there was like another guy from Disney, but from different departments. I don't know if one of them's like corporate Disney and one was like theme park Disney. And then it's like Joe Rohde is like the creative guy that's like trying to push for the creative ideas.
Right.
So there's like three voices, you know, do this, coming up to me each time. Yeah.
Whoa. Is that confusing?
It's very confusing. Yeah. You have to like figure out who's the guy in charge. It's sort of like commercials. You guys have done commercials where it's like, you're like, who's the guy in charge?
Yes.
I just listened to whoever last told me what to do.
Anyone can tell you anything, I'll do it.
Yeah, it doesn't exactly. it's like whoever the last person to tell you something, you're like, got it.
Caterer can tell me, like, go in the front of the camera and say these, and I go, I guess.
Yeah.
In that case, sometimes the most unnerving thing is when the director is very chill and laid back and just like, I'll just try it a few ways. Well, we'll record it all, whatever. And you're like, oh, but what do the people from Hostess have to say? There's about a dozen of them.
By the way, Jason, I saw your Hulu, your Hulu commercial. Okay. It's so good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's like actually pretty funny, you know. And thanks. You're like perfect in there. You're just like, oh, what about Plus... Hulu Plus?
Yeah.
Plus.
Was one where it's like everyone was an improv trained performer and actor, and everyone was very chill, and it was a really nice time. Yeah.
So, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this. We can edit it out, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So everyone, did you guys all improvise that together? Like, with your pitches of like Hulu?
They did a lot of alts. Like, everyone tossed out a bunch, so they had a bunch to go. And then there was like 15-second version of the spot, 30-second version, try this ending, okay, try this ending. There is a bunch of endings where it is said that I am the main guy's nephew, and everyone gets mad at me because they didn't know I was a nepotism hire.
The main guy being the guy's like, give me ideas, the ringleader guy.
Okay. Who also we later learned that like we were talking about UCB and stuff, and he brought up our friend Zach Reno, who's been on the show before, and he's like, oh, I performed his wedding. And I was like, I was at that wedding. So we were in the same place before.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So mild nepotism.
A few degrees of separation.
That's a hell of a backstory. They're not clear to the Hulu ad viewers.
No.
Now you know.
Yeah.
You know all the secrets now of Dr. Know. Stevens and of
Yeah, Hulu. I don't know if you're allowed to, because do you always sign all this stuff? But it's like, who cares, you know? But also, I don't want to give you money back.
That's all right. I think it's done for now. I think they're all.
What I want to say about the fly thing. Well, first of all, like, because Rhodey, I feel like, has helped make it a thing. Because you retweeted something that there was like a poll of you can, all right, here's three, sort of like what we did, three like pre-ride videos or doctor people, and you can only keep one. And Rhodey himself said, has to be the fly guy. And which I love seeing, because his typical, I guess as you experience, you met the man, you worked with the man, his typical mode seems to be like flowery language, big eloquent paragraphs. So seeing him say something as blunt as the fly guy, I thought was kind of charmingly off-brand.
Yeah.
And he must have enjoyed getting like the props from him for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was like the most supportive person on set. Like, he made me feel really confident, because it was like the opposite of what you're saying, where the director doesn't say anything. He was just saying, I love, he would be like, Dr. Ogden is like a straight, like not straight, but you know, traditional sort of type of character, like a sort of traditional high status character that you get at the parks. And he's like, and then this character is just sort of, you know, all over the place. It's like, I love it. It's gonna blow their minds. Because he wanted to he wanted people to be like, you know, this isn't normal Disney stuff. That's what he was saying. And like the whole time I'm like, so you're saying I'm not doing like it's not polished, like, and you like it, you know? I was like, okay, all right. But he was like, he was just, you know, very encouraging.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So he kind of like caught how you were generally doing it and said, keep going further in that direction. And you sort of like found this mode for it together.
Right, right.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
He also, do you know that he did this big Instagram post about Dr. Stevens and why it's important to the fabric of the ride? Have you come across this?
I got tagged, I think. I think I remember reading it. It was positive, right?
It was very positive. And we've talked on the show a lot about Joe Rhodey's posts. As I was saying, he'd like some little thing, some like, you know, a frame of a picture, a detail up on the roof. Here is a long, long rationale for why this is important.
Yeah.
And that it is the way that it is. And this, I don't want to read the entire thing, but it's a big breakdown specifically of But then it gets into other stuff about your performance. Let me do some of it. How I love that the word is so pivotal to the characterization and plot that it must be translated for people who cannot hear, meaning that it's in the captions. Mm-hmm. It's in the closed captions on the ride. And that a distorted fisheye lens view of an ill-shaven man.
That's me. What a
the ill-shaven man. The fly guy and the ill-shaven man. Who seems unsure of what to say is the preamble to a major theme park experience. At Animal Kingdom, we're always trying to place our design in that right place where you're not quite sure, is this really real? Is it supposed to be real, but it's not real? Is this a mistake and I'm not supposed to be seeing it? Like, it ties into his greater Animal Kingdom feelings about, well, when is it contrived and when is it just nature being nature and how do we trick you? Like, he's including your beard, the choice of your facial hair, in the fabric of why the ride is successful.
Yeah, I mean, that was their choice. They told me to come in ill-shaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ill-shaven.
Ill-shaven was on the notes before.
Was that literally?
No, it wasn't that. I was just.
Could have been.
But yeah, they said to come in, you know, with some stubble, I think.
Sure.
Maybe was the word.
Regular person says it.
Ill-shaven. Yeah. It's very judgmental. That was the only.
Yes,
the barest roasting of you on this episode is the implication that you were not good at shaving.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it was a choice.
Yeah, because you know, you always go on set with like a razor and like, you know, whatever, because they're always like, keep it or let's shave it. Mm. Or maybe just a mustache. I've never done a mustache. Maybe I should do a mustache. I've never done a mustache.
It'd be a tight. You'll probably get something specifically because of the mustache. At least one thing. Yeah. We want that mustache guy.
Yeah.
Jason's mustache is pretty good.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And yours is okay. A full beard.
I got a full beard. Yeah. Jason sort of.
I guess Jason has a goatee-ish beard.
During like lockdown era pandemic, I would shave just the mustache. Like I was just, well, just as like when you would come up with ways to amuse yourself, I was like, I'm going to try having a mustache for a while. And I remember Mike, we got on a Zoom once and he went, well, we'll talk about it.
That's what Mike said.
Yeah, we were recording. Like, well, and then we never did. It never came
up. Yeah, I forgot to say. I forgot saying that.
I was like, oh, he's going to make this the first
I may thought. I may have thought like, oh, wow, look how different it is. And then as soon as we started, I go, no, it's good. And that's how you've always had it. Like, I may have just absorbed it.
I think I had shaved all the rest of the beard off except a mustache.
But this I just accepted it. I mean,
the history, Jason, you've ended up having to be on edge probably in every episode of I have done something 2% different.
That's right.
Surely this will take up 15 minutes.
Claws are, Carlton's claws are coming out.
You're never gonna believe how they say this word in Southeast Pennsylvania, and we're gonna talk about
10% of the podcast is just going, what word did you say?
I feel like if I'd ever met anyone from that area, it would never come up. It's always unfamiliar to me. It's all new to me.
It bleeds into my real life because Jane has started calling out when I say milk. And,
like milk.
They're
like,
saying, yeah.
Is it more of a milk?
It's more
MELK.
It kind of sounds like MELK.
Right.
She's
right.
Like milk, milk.
You repeat and you can't.
It's like, yeah.
What's the Simpsons up and at them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The goggles do nothing. Or something does nothing.
Yeah,
it's getting drained by
the goggles, they do nothing.
The goggles.
The goggles do nothing.
I was thinking about a Simpsons thing in relation to all that. That you being, getting this thing that you improvised becoming he's the fly guy. This is similar to Bart being the I didn't do it guy.
Right.
Is it weird in any context to be like, to have that phrase in your head, like the something guy?
You know, it's not weird to me because the only way I hear about it is if I have to do an active search online. Mm. I have to do like, and a fly in quotations. And then I can start. But like, I would not have known about any of this unless like friends send me links.
Right.
Or, so it's not like something I think about. But when I do go and read the stuff, sometimes it's like there's that, like, you guys are making me feel good, but I've gone and read the comments sometimes. And there's like a lot of, you know, there's some people that prefer Dr. Stevens be removed. And yeah, and like sometimes it's usually you know, my weaker stages of time to time we become weak, and it's usually late at night and you're just like, oh, I haven't Googled myself in a while.
Yeah.
And you just like do a little Google, and then you're like, oh, this didn't bother me that much, I can go further. And you start, you know, looking further and further, and then it starts like hurting your feelings a little bit, and to the point where you're like, you start clicking on their profile and like trying to see like whether their comment is of value. You know, it's like, oh, well, they only have 13 followers. This comment doesn't count. It's all negative. I shouldn't be doing it. And but now I've gotten better at it, where it's like, I'm okay. It's like, it doesn't hurt my feelings anymore as much.
Yeah.
We'll see. Then what happens is I start digging more and more until I find one that hits.
You need to kind of get the little zap. Yeah. You almost I just want to, I got to feel it a tiny bit. And then I'll lay off.
I remember once I clicked on some guy, and it's the guy that co-wrote the Pixel movie. Remember that movie, Pixel?
Yeah.
It's with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The guy hates the pre-show flight of passage guy, Dr. Stevens. Yeah, he hates him, and it's like, I'm just like, why is this guy like, why does he care about it so much that he has to like tweet? I guess he's like a super Disney fan, and like it's messing with his vision of the way Disney should be. But
we gotta find his comment.
Yeah, it's
I know these. I know both of these names. Yeah.
There's two writers. It's like the younger writer guy. There's two writers. One of them,
I've heard of this person. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, but then I started looking up dirt on him, and then I'm like, okay, so you're gonna diss me? Let me go see some.
Sure.
And then I looked up. And I was like, oh, Pixel won a Razzie. A Razzie is an award for the worst movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you didn't have to go very far to get to the phrase co-writer Pixels.
It's right in there, isn't it? Come on, co-writer of Pixels.
Yeah, so it's like I have to find something to level off that's my unhealthy therapy of that. So
do you find enough positive, or just like having fun with it, that it feels better than this is the whole thing for you has been more fun than not?
You know, the positive always comes in person. Like I went to Give the Kids a Village is a nonprofit.
In Orlando. Yeah.
Give Kids the World.
Yeah. Give the Kids the World. Okay. Yeah. Yes. And so they had this big convention where they wanted to, you know, fly in all of these Disney persons, like I think it was the voice of Aladdin, or maybe it's the voice of Little Mermaid, you know, all of these different Disney people.
Notable performers.
Thank you. You're the professional. You know how to extract what I'm trying to say. I guess I just do it normally. One of the panels were the theme park.
Theme park specific actors.
And so I went there with, and I don't really go to Disneyland or Disney World, so I don't really know them that much. But there was like the woman from the Haunted Mansion, and then there was the Figment
the dragon.
He was super nice. I'm going and I was talking to him. I was like, so what? Okay, I didn't even finish the story. Sorry guys.
No.
So Give the Kids the World.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've created this convention where all the money goes to their foundation to help the kids that they help.
Okay.
And so, you know, I went out there and then the people that actually saw the panel were very loving and gave a lot of praise. So I guess in real life the interactions I got were all positive. But you know how the internet and Twitter and all that stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys ever read bad comments about the podcast, The Ride? or
if there were.
Not if I can help it.
No, we don't get fixated on every bad thing that gets said.
Any mild criticism.
Well, I feel like I've had a couple reactions. One, it's every now and then you just double check, yeah, the other person's post, and sometimes you go like, oh, they're insane. Nice, don't have to worry about this. And then the other is like, they hone in on something so particular, so odd, and then it's just like, I'm not insecure about this because it never would have occurred to me to even be remotely insecure about this. So
yeah,
fair enough.
And if you don't relate to it at all, and who cares? Yeah, it's tougher if it's something you care about or something. I mean, you know what's a scarring moment in podcast history for me that almost got me off of doing podcasts. It almost made me go, I don't like doing podcasts, before we started doing this podcast with many, many episodes. When I was on the show Doughboys, which is a podcast about chain restaurants, I was a guest on it, and I felt comfortable when it started, but then when it began, I was like, wait, I've never really been on a podcast, have I? Ah, I'm sure it'll be fine. The next day, a comment or somebody tags me on Twitter and says, say and like more, motherfucker. Oh, just in my replies.
Oh man.
And it truly made me like, well, I will stay out of that game forever. And I'm so glad I didn't. But to bring it back to your performance, and like, you told us this stuff about being sounding like slick and broadcasters, I don't feel that way at all, and I like that you did this like non-polished performance with an iconic in it, as somebody who does say it from time to time but who still wants to try to be funny in front of a microphone. It's nice to have a celebrated for people to like it a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take that, thank you. Yeah.
It's just a nice moment for the unpolished in general.
Yeah. And on your character is an unpolished hero, I guess.
Oh
yeah, standing up for all the unpolished, having an impressive job. Yeah.
It's interesting. Right. It's interesting because, again, I truly mean it. Like, when because you felt it, like meeting theme park fans who are some of the most rabid fans of anything. But it doesn't feel like you should be like doing the convention circuit.
No,
right?
I don't know. I think the way I think of it is like, I'm only recognizable in Orlando, like in that area.
Certainly, you know? Maybe those specific conventions, but like there's Anaheim, WonderCon, stuff like that. I don't know.
Maybe I'll
feel like people. We know
around.
Everybody who listens to the show would be so psyched.
Oh. Yes, that's absolutely true.
I think people are going to be very excited to hear you on the show.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. I hope so. I hope there's another tweet that I got. So I get tagged on stuff.
Yeah.
So then I look at it. One of them was, there's like three pictures of different Disney scientists.
Yeah.
One of them is Putty from
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then one of them is this other person that I don't know. And then there's me. And then it was like Mary F. Kill. And let me tell you, Dr. Stevens was Kill 99% of the time. So you know, I haven't seen the other people. I mean, Putty's like, you know, he's pretty good looking, I guess. They're traditionally.
Do you think they're marrying Putty or they're fucking Putty?
I don't know his like character's name. I'm thinking
that
they're
character doesn't have a name.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. But then why isn't, if it's Wallace Langham in the ride Dinosaur, which is my guess.
I think it was
Dr. Seeker, yeah. I believe. That's a crazy choice. Dr. Seeker is a slime ball. That's not somebody. That's who you kill.
He would be the least popular.
Dr. Stevens has no ill intention for anybody. You're a guy doing your job.
I think you're a Mary.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I think you have sex with Putty. No.
Yeah, we're not giving you.
Well, you can have a fun weekend with Dr. Seeker, sleazy in Vegas, you know?
That's, I guess, what people are thinking, maybe. Yes,
but I don't know. Putty's more of the, like, you have a. I'm just saying Putty now as if he's the character, but.
This is a tough choice. And when it's a group of three, that's what we are. I don't want it. Don't tag Seeker. Me.
I'm effing the pilot or whatever the hell. He's a pilot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, effing unnamed pilot.
Effing unnamed Soren pilot. And I'm marrying Dr. Stevens.
Oh.
That's very nice.
I think that's the universally correct choice.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I think so. Yeah. I completely agree. There's another tweet that I don't think is a mean. I don't think I'll offend you by saying this, but I was curious anybody's Dr. Stevens tweets, and here's one from Just Mateo a couple years ago. Here's what you think of this. I've seen arguments over which Disney character is a Republican or Democrat, but I think we can all agree that Dr. Stevens from the Flight of Passage pre-show forgot to register to vote.
Oh yeah, I think Dr. Stevens is like he's not a voter.
He's got too much stuff on his mind.
You're out of the country. Well, you know, now you need an absentee, first of all.
With mail-in ballots, I think he's a mail-in guy.
He has to.
He's an independent mail-in guy.
But do you maybe like forget because you're busy? Like, because the way that, like you said, the way the camera, you go, oh, right, I have to talk on camera. Maybe you're also like, oh, I got these lab results to go through. Oh, wait, shit. Oh, the ballot. When was that? 2 months ago? Crap.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys... go political here, but I think Dr. Stevens is not for, you know, I'm not gonna do it.
I'm so curious now. Yeah,
big lineup. I was like, where's the line? No, I'm not gonna. No, okay. It's just,
you can certainly keep it to yourself, Dr. Stevens. You don't want to reveal all the recesses of Dr. Stevens' heart.
Yeah.
But if Dr. Ogden switched into politics and ran for office, you know he's supporting Dr. Ogden. That much we know.
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Governor Ogden.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Governor Ogden.
I'm trying to think what else to ask here. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground for sure.
I had something I was wondering, because I had heard someone who did music for a part of Universal once, and they were like, I should really get down there one of these days. Like, I should see this Spider-Man ride. My kids are teenagers. Would they like it? And I'm listening to this interview. I'm like, yeah, man, I think your teenagers would like the Spider-Man ride.
You were part of? Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Pandora? Have you ridden it? Have you seen yourself?
Oh, right.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is a little story, which I've never told.
Oh,
okay, so... when I went to that convention, that was the first time I went to Orlando.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not in Disney World. It's just in one of these hotels nearby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
It might have been a Disney World hotel that they rented. And I had never been to the ride. And I didn't have a ticket because Disney never offered or, you know,
which
gave me
bizarre.
The
a little wild.
Come on.
So this was a nonprofit organization flying me to Orlando. Jeez. And the host of the panel, I started talking to him. His name was Mark Daniel, I believe.
Okay.
And I might be getting his last name wrong. And he said, I told him I'd never been on the ride. He was like flabbergasted, like, what? You've never been on the ride? We got to go right now. And it's like 4 p.m.
Uh-huh.
Orlando time. I had flown in on a red eye and woke up at like noon, like an hour before Whoa. So it's like I was very out of it. And he goes, we got to get you to the ride. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And so he had a season pass, but he had to go to like a different park to get checked in. And then he could go to any park.
Mm-hmm. This is recent, so it's all Disney World's insane now. You can't park hop.
Yeah, this was like last year. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
And so I go into is it Animal Kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
It's Animal Kingdom. We go into Animal Kingdom. We walk in, and it's like almost closing time, and there's no line. So we just walk through the whole thing, like the whole. There's no line for Avatar Flight of Passage. We walk all the way through. And then you see the big Avatar, which is huge. I didn't realize how huge it was.
Yeah.
In the tank.
The Avatar in the tank is huge. It's like 10 feet tall. And then, you know, I'm wearing a mask, so no one is noticing me. It was during COVID, during the middle. It was like last year, so more.
It's opened up a little,
masks were sort of required, I believe.
Sure.
Right.
So I see myself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. I've never, you know.
Have you seen a video off on YouTube?
I've seen the video on YouTube, but it just felt a little surreal seeing, you know, seeing it right there and then.
Yeah.
And I was in the back, so nobody could see me. So then I turned around and did a little selfie. I like took the mask down, did a little selfie, and took a picture of, you know, me with the pre-show in the back, and you know, he says all his stuff, move around a little bit.
Yeah.
it's sort of like, you know, it's just, I think most people that go to the ride maybe are just not too pushed, either love them or hate them. They're just sort of like, oh, this is just part of the ride.
Sure.
So, you know, we go through the Flight of Passage pre-show, and then I get on the ride, which is like sort of like a bicycle seat.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, you strap.
Yeah, you strap on, and there's a big screen, and the ride starts, and it's incredible because mm-hmm. it just feels like you're flying.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's little sprays coming at you, and it's just incredible. And then I'd say like a minute into the ride, I start to get nauseous.
Wow.
like I'm just like, whoa, I'm feeling sick. Like, what's going on? And then, you know, I can hear like Mark next to me, he's loving it. He's just like, whoa, yes. He's like repeating lines that they're saying, you know, because there's one avatar that's like, you're sort of following, that's like guiding you along.
Right.
Yeah.
Or Ikron, one banshee, yeah,
banshee,
right, yeah. Right.
And I'm just feeling really sick. At some point, I like close my eyes, and it's like I can't take it anymore because like it's making me like it feels like I'm gonna throw up, and I'm just sweating. Oh. And when the ride's over, Mark looks up at me and he's just like, "Wasn't that incredible?" And then I go, yes, it was. And I didn't tell him. Like I was sweating so much, but it was so humid. It was during the summer or September months. So it could have just been the heat. But the ride for me was I can't do those rides. I could do a roller coaster just fine.
The 3D is probably
the 3D. Yeah, yeah. Universal Studios has a lot of those now.
A lot, yeah.
And I had the same thing happen to me. The Harry Potter ride, I had to just close my eyes. It was just like,
those are really similar. Really nausea induced. Yeah. Yeah. I even get a little, I do it, but I get a little like a tingle of it.
But people love it. I think it's just that I'm like older, and as a kid, maybe I didn't do those rides. I don't know. Or maybe it's just
you weren't
me.
Like, yeah, it was like you didn't get it. You don't have the immunity.
Yeah, I didn't get the early immunity. Yeah.
The 3D class immunity.
So, yeah, to answer your question, Jason, I went on the ride and it made me sick.
Wow.
Wow. The person who explains the ride before it was a major part of the experience. We had a tough time on the ride.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So you were not fully prepared to fly.
No, yourself. No, I wasn't. Yeah,
or you wouldn't do it again.
No, it was not a fun experience. The first part was. The first minute was incredible. And then after that, it's just like, get me out of here. It's just like not ending.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. A question about that video, that I guess I'm curious about that feeling. Like, does it ever just hit you out of nowhere? Like, oh, there's that video of me playing right now. There's strangers watching me across the country right now. And then there will be again in 10 minutes and then in an hour and then again tomorrow.
That's interesting. You know, I've never thought of it like that. I don't know how I feel about that. I think if I really think about it, I would not feel too good, because it's like it's like, you know, I would I because of the dubbing thing, it's like I don't want, you know, I feel a little like it's not fully representative,
right?
So yeah, I guess I wouldn't feel too good about it, but you know, they can change it if they want. I wouldn't feel bad about that if they decided to change it. Or,
would you not really?
Yeah, I don't think I would feel bad about it.
Huh?
Yeah,
because it was just addressed. We haven't talked about this in the little Feliz Navidad season, that James Cameron said when Iger got reinstalled. I told Iger, hey, I'd redo the ride and we could do like an underwater thing for the new movie. Mm-hmm. So there was the talk of, do we put a different ride film in there? Not that anything was said about would we change the pre-show, but it certainly could happen, because they might have to explain now how you ride do you know the name of the creature?
No, I'm going in cold. I want to know
the water one. Do you know?
Do you want to cover your ears?
No.
Oh, okay. It's the Ilu.
The Ilu.
Sorry.
The mighty Ilu.
Are we going with mighty? Are we sticking with mighty? You're still going to determine
vulture,
that?
The hey, vulture rider.
Let the king see the movie first before he decides to...
I was just giving a nod to... in Vulture, okay. they said, you've met the mighty Kron, now
yes,
you meet the
that
mighty
was nice
Ilu.
To see.
And yeah,
we tagged
that.
Us.
We have this whole thing, Mike... invented. He started saying this phrase: "The when you get on about the ride, when you get on the ride, and you get on the mighty Akron, and you ride on the mighty Akron." Mm-hmm. And then we were starting to go like, I think we you might have even thought that was something that David said in it.
I think
you board
I
the mighty Akron,
or it's in the movie, but it's not apparently.
It's only he said it. So when Mike Googled the phrase, ultimately all of the results were him.
If you look up mighty Akron, it's just me in this podcast.
So are they? Did they incorporate that in the
we discussed it a little bit, but in the new trailer for one of the trailers for the new movie, there's a shot where they what are they asking for a description of?
It's talking about heart. Like what is it like to feel Awa's heartbeat,
right?
Like their god,
and there's a big long pause, and then the character goes mighty, and then there's a cut to the water Akron's flying, and we were like, this feels
pretty weird.
Purposeful. Mighty's not like a thing that all the Na'vi said in the first movie or anything, so
no, anyway. That got to them. Someone listened to the podcast, and then someone pitched it, probably. Like, it probably wasn't written, and someone pitched it, and then they're like, okay, let's try Mighty. It's like, can we do it again, but say Mighty this time?
I have a pitch.
And then boom. And
Mighty.
Yeah.
Mighty. I'll let you say it and not take the credit ourselves. Yeah. That's a nice theory.
So you're saying they're going to change the software, sort of like the video that's being shown? And
I don't think it's no official plan. Yeah. It's something James Cameron maybe wants to do in success of the movie, which I wish it success. I think it's going to get it. But the... So if that happens, and then suddenly you find out there's a new video, you're fine. You had your time.
Oh yeah, Stevens. Yeah, I would be perfectly fine with that. Oh, yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
but
I would be perfectly fine.
if they need somebody to talk about what it's like to get in a link chair and board an Ilu, and maybe learn about maybe a different doctor's experience training the Ilu, would you be up for the job again?
Good question. I think I would want someone else to do it, but I would want to do like a little cameo, you know?
Oh, cool.
Maybe just like one thing, so I don't have to do all the dubbing again.
That's fair. Well, yeah. What if I mean, there's got to be a way to like that you're in the back, like your chair is turned, and then the new person who's talking needs to like, and these, you know, and these characters swim as opposed to the Ikron, who, what's that, we're Dr. Stevens, could you help me out?
Yeah.
And you have to roll in,
come back in and just be like, all right guys, let's get ready to and swim.
Yeah. I think it has to be.
I think it's gotta
you'll
be.
Just do that. Just
that's
stand
all I would
swim.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I would do.
Same money though as last time.
Yeah. And you roll into frame and your hair is white and you have an eye patch and everyone's like, what happened to Doctor?
Yeah.
What happened to him between rides?
This is it's been a tough 40 years for Dr. Stevens. This is great. Well, at least this needs to happen. This is where we can start. James Cameron, do more, as much with David as you want to do. This, I feel like at least the cameo. I'm glad you pitched that. I mean, we're kind of coming to the end, unless there's anything else you want to say about the experience, but there's, you know, there's a little thing I'll veer into, but and I don't know, anything we did not get to about this whole weird
No, I feel like I told you about how I got sick on the ride,
mm-hmm.
the one and only time
big
I
one.
Did. I told you about the shoot, I told you about the audition, I told you about the mean tweets.
The dumb, wrong, mean tweets.
I don't know, I think... Yeah,
that's a lot. There's one more little thing if I could spring on you, and I asked about you. You brought up violin. I asked about the music abilities, and it doesn't really matter here. But there's something that we have been ending these episodes with because it's the Feliz Navidad, the Way of Winter. We've been doing little Christmas carols at the end of the episodes, or as we call them, Amutikaya carols, the name of the tribe in the movie. And we've just been singing these silly songs at the end of the episodes. And I have a song prepared, which has a
two-line cameo for you. Speaking of cameos, would you be up for doing a brief a part in a song that that I'm going to perform here?
Yeah. Do I need? Do you want to email it to me or do?
I have it. I have it.
Oh, printed out.
Paper. And you'll your part is in bold. And then, gentlemen, at the end, it's all. Oh, sure. Oh, thanks, Regina. At the end, there's italics and so that's where maybe we can all come in. But one last Emotikaya carol, and I think you'll know the part, and I think you'll know the song. But I'll cue you too. But here,
we only do one take.
There did you guys no ADR. Did you guys rehearse it?
Oh no. They haven't.
Okay. I don't know what we don't know. Okay. What it is. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So apologies
so
if there's
you're
any.
You're doing the brunt of it.
Yes, and, but everybody come in at the end.
Everyone
is
coming
in at
the
end. Let's end in full harmony.
Can I turn it over yet?
Oh. Oh yeah. Oh sure. No. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll hand you the speaker.
Oh sure. Yeah.
This lineup. And this is great.
Thank you so much, David, for being part of this. And you know, I invented a little bit of new Avatar mythology myself, and it's kind of based around a flight of passage and a new character, hopefully a new beloved holiday character, who's the star of this song. Rutuk the mighty Ikron had a luminescent glow, and if you learn to ride him, you would be Ikron Mokto. All of the other banshees mash with human DNA. Rutuk could not go flying till a proper link was made. Then one flight of passage Eve, Dr. Stevens came to say, even though no match was right, you can still fly tonight. So he and Dr. Ogden shouted through the rookery, Rutuk the mighty Ikron. No Ikron is more mighty. One more slower. No Ikron is more mighty. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to do a quick scan. It's a scan for stellar pipes. Guess what? You all got them. Oh. Yay.
Wow. Hope I didn't ruin the song.
No, that was great. Thank you for indulging a musical of Fly, for being the, wow, the Santa in the tale of Rutuk. And with that, thrilled to say, David Danipour, you survived Podcast The Ride.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Such
thank
an honor to have you.
And so how do I get paid, or like how does...
Oh, well, yeah. Well, we're gonna go over the footage and see if we... we'll listen to the audio usable. And see if we need to ADR anything, okay. And then we'll determine it off of that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. So, okay. So, got it.
We'll just, you know, we'll check. We'll see if it's one line, or we'll see if you have to re-record this entire episode.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll I would love to redub my part of this podcast.
Every second. Well, feel free if you want to do another one just for you. We're open to that. But as for now, let's exit through the gift shop. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Oh, I should have plugged something, but no, I don't. Maybe I should make a T-shirt that says "and a shirt," and maybe I'll have it up by the time the podcast comes
out. Go for it.
We'll promote it. We'll plug it for sure.
You got.
And we'll share the proceeds. We'll share the proceeds.
Nah, you take it.
Okay.
It's all you. It's your phrase. You said it. Thanks for saying it in the song as well. Yeah. It's really delightful. I'm so glad you could do this.
Oh yeah.
So it's so much fun. And listeners, you survived Podcast The Ride, the main feed for 2022. That is the end of our season.
Yeah.
I think a great way to go out. Glad David could join us for it. It's our last one of the year here, but if you're worried that, like leaving Pandora, you will end up with post-PTR depression, and you will miss us too much over the holidays, the episodes will keep coming on Podcast The Ride, the second gate, or you can get one more bonus episode on our VIP tier, Club 3,
where we, of course, will soon be describing the or talking about the 1999 Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So if you want to hear any of that and we'll keep you company through the holidays, you could find that at patreon.com/podcasttheride. Merch available in our T Public store with maybe a link to an official Anda shirt if you feel like doing it. Up to you. But hey, I guess that'll do it for the year. That'll do it for this entire Feliz Navidad.
Three Wolfman Jacks signing off and saying, you know, howling at the final moon of the year.
Hey, woo-woo-hoo. Hey, always remember, I see you.
Forever
Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.